Thank you for contacting Fly High Ministries. It's really good to be with you today. And I pray that God is blessing you no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. Remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord of your soul. He is the Lord of your life. And He is the Lord where you're at this given time. Today's message, I'm going to be talking about music and where the church is going with music. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grew up listening to the old traditional hymns. The old traditional hymns. Yes, they were they very much touched my heart. There was a lot of meaning to that. And I was really, really amazed just how we as a generation today is moving away from the traditional hymns. How the church, the mega churches, the big churches today, they seem to be moving away from the old hymns. They're moving to more choruses and big songs. And you know, there's nothing against writing your own songs. And if that song is very heartfelt and the Lord somehow has altered or changed your life through, and you write a song about that, that's wonderful. But today, what we're not competing with, you know, heartfelt songs. Today, we're competing with pop culture, and I believe the heart of musicians in the church is no more singing to Jesus, but singing to get my own CD written, or singing to be famous, or singing to be noticed. When you go into a church, they sing these basic popular songs. It seems to be a network-wide church songs, and you know the songs that I'm talking about, and they're like networked songs. Every church are singing the same songs, and you know, songs that was written in the past was written individual. They weren't networked throughout churches as they are today in these big mega churches, parachurches today. They are seem to be following pop culture, and we're really elevating Christian music artists, and we're putting them on a pedestal, and you know, and they're becoming famous, and the next thing you know, they're waiting to receive the next. You know, who's up for the next Dove Award? Now, this is all fine and dandy, but the traditional hymns, I want to take for an example about a song in one of the traditional hymns. It is well with my soul. You remember that song? It is well with my soul. Yes, that was written by Horatio G. Spafford in 1873. Let me tell you a little bit about how this song came about. He planned a trip with his family to Europe from Chicago. His wife and his four daughters, ranging from ages 11 to the youngest daughter, 2 years old. At the last minute, Spafford was unable to leave with them as some urgent business came up and he had to attend to. As he did not want to disappoint his family, he sent them ahead on the SS Val de Harve, big ship, which he promised to join them just as soon as he was done with his business. But about halfway on their voyage, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, tragedy struck. Loch Earn, an English ship, struck the ship, and it capsized. There were 226 killed, which included Spafford's four daughters. After receiving a telegram from his wife, who was one of the few survivors, which said, "Saved alone," Spafford left immediately to be with her. The story is that as his ship passed over the place where his daughters had drowned, Spafford, who was a devout Christian, was inspired to compose the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Wow. I bet you didn't know that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," had such a strong meaning to it when he wrote that. And I don't believe Spafford, when he wrote that song, that he was worried about making a CD for himself. And I don't believe that he was worried about whether he was going to be famous or even he was going to make the Dove Awards. He was writing this because this song was so meaningful to him. Isaac Watts. In 1674 through 1748, wrote more than 697 hymns, including "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." This was criticized by some of the contemporaries. They said that the hymns were just too worldly. Many of the hymns have been replaced by many churches with contemporary worship songs and choruses. They are seen by some as shallow, uninspired, and repetitive. Many of the tunes are catchy, but have a lack of theological content. Wouldn't you guys agree with that? I would definitely agree with that. So, where is music going today? And what is your view on music? Some say that the church music has turned into the rock of ages, into the age of rock. That's what some said. Some say there's a time and a place for choruses, which should be added to the hymns. What is your view? Others say that choruses are fun, but it is sad that they have phased out hymns, which have deep doctrine and are the basis of our faith. We must try to keep hymns because they teach and help us to reflect. It is definitely true that hymns have more theological and doctrine meaning than today's modern choruses that are networked throughout the Christian circles today. Would you not agree with me on that? Now, I bet a lot of you don't know this one, but did you know the song "Amazing Grace" was written by a white Englishman who was in trade slaves? Yes, John Newton, the author and the lyrics of "Amazing Grace," was born in 1725 in Wapping, England. Despite the powerful message of "Amazing Grace," Newton's religious beliefs initially lacked conviction. His youth was marked by religion confusion and a lack of moral self-control and discipline. Now, he had a career in slave trading. Now, when you hear the song "Amazing Grace," you would think that it came back during the Civil Rights Movement from the African-American culture. That's exactly what I thought. But the man that wrote the song "Amazing Grace" that is so popular today and throughout the church was actually from a white Englishman who was trading slaves. He was in the slave trading business. Totally contrary to what you hear. After the brief time in the Royal Navy, Newton began a career in slave trading. The turning point in Newton's spiritual life was a violent storm that occurred on a ship one night. Moments after he left the deck, the crewman who has taken the place was swept overboard. Although he manned the vessel for the remainder of the trip, he later committed that throughout his journey, he realized his helplessness and concluded that only the grace of God saved him. Prodded by what he had said, Newton took the first step in accepting Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but "Amazing Grace" was was written by a young Englishman who, when a violent storm wiped his friend off, who has taken his place on that ship. Wiped him right off to his death, and he said, "It's only by your amazing grace that I'm alive today." What is your motive of writing a song? Is I would like to question with you. What is your motive by getting up and singing loud praises? Is there some deep-rooted meaning to that? Or now are we just accepting all these songs as a big corporate church? Come on, somebody. You know, Newton ended up returning back to sea, but he also looked at the trade slaving business in a whole different way because of Jesus after that. And he tried all he could to change the trade slaving business, but after a stroke that he had, he felt like the Lord was leading him on another spiritual voyage. And so he assumed a post at the custom office at the port of Liverpool and began to explore Christianity more fully. And Newton attempted to experience all the various expressions of Christianity. It became clear that he was being called to the ministry. Newton, in the trade slaves, was called to the ministry. Now, Newton lacked a university degree. Interesting how God somehow calls those that lack university degrees today, and how we as a society has puffed these degrees up as if they're God, and we decide what God is in this country. But Newton, he did not have a degree, and so he couldn't be ordained by the normal channels. However, the landlord of the parish of Olney was so impressed with the letter Newton had written about the conversation that he offered the church to Newton. He was ordained on June 1764. You see, you can't stop a called man. When a called man is called, he's called. You can't stop a called man. Now, in the music industry today, are you singing? What is your modus? Are you singing from your heart? Have you created your own lyrics that comes from your heart? Are you singing out of your heart today, or are you singing just another corporate song that they're fed to you in the church? You look good. We should not be having alliances in the church. We should not be networking churches. There is unity that must be established, yes, but songs should be written from the heart. And I tell you, I would love to see a song. I would love to see a song that comes from the heart. A new song. Give me a new song. So, the song has also become known as a favorite with the supporters of freedom and human rights, both Christian and non-Christian, in part because many assume it to be Newton's testimony about his slave trading past. The hymn was quite popular also on both sides of the American Civil War, and it's popular today. It is popular today. Jesus, it is popular, oh yeah, oh yeah. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? They're coming for to carry me home. A band of angels, yeah, coming after me. They're coming for to carry me home. I said, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, and coming for to carry me home. Now that song was composed by Wallace Willis, Choctaw freedman in the old Indian Territory around 1862. He was inspired by the Red Sea, which reminded him of the Jordan River, and of the prophet Elijah being taken to heaven by a chariot. Other states that the Mississippi River or the Ohio River could be substituted for the Jordan River. Some latter-day sources imply that this song and Steal Away to Jesus, also composed by Willis, had some hidden lyrics referring to the Underground Railroad. It is important to know that since the song Steal Away was a code song for the Underground Railroad, it would have originally been composed before 1862. Unfortunately, the original composer name is permanently lost to history. Alexander Reed, the minister at the Choctaw boarding school, heard Willis singing the song and transcribes the words and melodies. He sent the music to the Jubilee Singers of Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. The Jubilee Singers then popularized the song during a tour of the United States and Europe. The song enjoys a resurgence during the 1960s civil rights struggle and the folk revival. It was performed by a number of artists, perhaps most famously during this period by Joan Baez during the legendary 1969 Woodstock Festival. Amen. There's meaning in these songs. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Wallace Willis, Choctaw freedman of the Indian Territory, was so impressed with Elijah being taken away by a chariot. And he had to sing this song. Later adopted by the civil rights movements. And we hear it today relating to the Underground Railroad. Hear this. Sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. Coming for to carry me home, but still my soul feels heavenly bound. I'm coming for to carry me home, the brightest day that I can say. I'm coming for to carry me home, when Jesus washed my sins away. I'm coming for to carry me home. I said sweet, sweet, swing low, swing, swing. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Amen. Music today should have meaning. Music today should come from the heart. And if you're singing because you want to look popular, if you're singing because you're trying to produce your next CD, or to be noticed, become a famous Christian band, or to make it to the Dove Awards, well, your purpose for singing, you have lost your heart. You have lost heart. And I pray today that Jesus Christ would challenge you with your music, that your music will come doctrinal, theological, and from the heart. Today we have destroyed what really means to sing for Jesus. Sometimes you don't have to have your song being popularized. You can sing by yourself. And that is something like the Psalms of David. The Psalms. When you think about the chief music maker of the Psalms, David. Psalms 81:2. Take up the melody, playing on an instrument of music, even on corded instruments. You know, we'll be be coming a time where this sound will no longer be there, the Bible says. Jeremiah 31:4, I will again make new your buildings, O Virgin of Israel, and you will take up your place again. You will take up your instruments of music and go out in the dances and those who are glad. Music is... Let's create music. But there is coming a time where our music will not be heard anymore. Revelation 18:22, and the voice of prayer and makers of music will never again be sounding in you, and no worker expect in art will ever again be living in you, and there will be no sound of the crushing of grain anymore at all in you. Where's your music going? There'll be a time that your music will die out. Make music when you are, when the Lord shows you, but there'll be a time. Heavenly Father, I know that this message is pretty challenging. I pray that it, even if it touches one soul, that the message was worth it. And I pray that the Bible speaks of, there's over 142 verses in the Bible that speaks about music. Music is good. And may we, when we sing music from our hearts to bring you glory, Jesus. Let's put our focus back on Jesus. Not the double words, not CDs, not big bands, but Jesus. Church, let's put our focus and music back on Jesus. When you sing, who are you singing to? The people? The crowds? Nashville? Or are you singing to Jesus? Jesus wants you to sing to Him.